Brass Bonanza, ladies and gentlemen.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, we're live at Pete Terry's Tavern.
Pete Weber is dancing.
Hey, and you know what? We play a little more of the Brass Bonanza when you're at Pete and Terry's. I mean, this is the Pete Weber theme song. And it's become the Terry Crist theme song. It's become an anthem that you hear. We've sort of semi-adopted this song.
A lot of people tell Alexa to do a lot of things. This is what Pete tells Alexa to do.
No doubt.
Without a doubt.
I mean, there have been many a plane ride. And our next guest, of course, the media is separate now from the team on the bus. But Pete has more than once on a late night arrival, you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. at the next city. You might hear the Brass Bonanza coming up from the back of the bus from Pete's phone. He's got it ready to go.
Let's see if our next guest can confirm or deny that is true. Predators' new assistant, Dan Hynote, is on the line with us. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this. Can you confirm Pete Weber and his love of Brass Bonanza?
I plead the fifth on all that. You know, I'm just dipping. I'm not here to make enemies on my day. I'm day one. You know?
Well, Dan will learn soon enough, I would say. He has not worked with Pete, I don't think, before, but it'll happen in time, Dan. You'll know what we're talking about.
Oh, the picture will become very, very clear. You know, speaking of the picture, Elliot Freeman joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock, and yesterday when we had him on, we told him that you were going to be joining us today on the show, and he wanted us to ask why you're not an FBI agent. Why did you decide to become, you know, an assistant coach?
Tell him, just in case Dan's memory needs to be jarred, I guess it was a Stanley Cup final, I think, for Colorado, and he said there was something like that, a big national question that came up, and somewhere along the line you expressed maybe some interest in doing that down the road. This
first,
of course, while you were still playing.
I was going to say, let's ask, is that good information or was that bad info we got?
Yeah, no, actually, that's 100% true. In fact, that's how I ended up at West Point, was because I wanted to be in the FBI, and then, you know, Colorado went and ruined that dream for me. and truth be told, I had a really good relationship with the FBI guys in Colorado. I used to visit the office and whatnot. And then when I retired, I went back in to see if, you know, hey, you know, if that was a possibility. And, you know, being a government job and me being older, you know, they just didn't think it was a good opportunity for them anymore, because, you know, they're going to hire the youngest guy because you can only work so long in that field. So it doesn't make sense to hire an old guy that's basically limping out of bed in the morning. So yeah, Colorado ruined that for me.
Good answer. Watching from afar, when you look at this Predators team, give us what you think you've signed up for, Dan.
Oh, you know what? I'm very, very lucky to be part of the organization as a whole, but also, like, the team for me is prime, right? Like, it's kind of like the early exit. I look at Tampa and, you know, kind of what they're doing now after the upset. You know, you get you know, that humility in the off season that fires you up, and lessons learned, you know, from underachieving, I guess, if you'd call it that, in the playoffs. And that's kind of what I see here. With the ball of clay is fantastic. There's a great base, you know, a great system in place with Coach Hines, and so I see sky's the limit, you know, walking in here.
John Hines' message when he came on board midway through the season last year, Dan, was very consistent. There's no doubt about that. But he was constantly talking about the right mindset. The right mindset you need night in and night out at this level, you know, to achieve the things you want to achieve. And, of course, that was kind of like the theme, and it had us perplexed because this was a veteran group. This is a group that's been through all the battles, the long seasons, the long runs in the playoffs, and they were, we thought, battle-tested. But yet he was basically testing that mindset. It seemed like an issue for him. Talk about what it takes. You understand. You played the game. You understand the mindset, the grit, the dirty stuff you have to do, stick your nose in the tough areas, things you have to do around the net. It's more than just your skill set. At least that's what we took from it. What do you take from those comments?
Yeah, I mean, he's 1,000% right. And this happens a lot in the NHL with teams that have really good success but don't quite get to the top of the mountain. There gets to be, you know, potentially there's some complacency there where, you know, the die has been cast. Everybody's kind of in their position. There's not a lot of pushback maybe in certain positions for the power play or maybe up the middle or wherever. And guys can get, you know, complacent. And I'm not saying that that's the case here. I just know that that's a thing. I was walking around the dressing room and the Bridgestone Arena and the practice facility, and there's a lot of embrace the grind, and that's perfect because that's what the NHL is. And, you know, it's just as much of a mental battle as it is a physical battle. And if you're not willing to every day, you know, look in the mirror and try and move the ball forward, then you're stagnant and teams are passing you, individuals are passing you, and you're not getting better. You know, so that's the kind of mindset that you have to have in the NHL is that growth mindset. I talked earlier today about how in Colorado I learned real quick in that dressing room we would be up 3-1, for instance, in the after the second to come in the dressing room, and guys would be, you know, yelling at each other and fighting because we just weren't playing good enough. You know, the standards have to be so high. You have to expect to win every single night, and you have to push your teammates, you know, to get there sometimes. And that was a great lesson for me as a young player because hey guys, we're up 3-1. Like what's the, and that wasn't good enough. They wanted to be playing at the highest level all the time. And when guys weren't, they got called out. So it was great because guys kept each other accountable, but it also helped the team get over that hump of the, you know, losing in the conference finals or wherever. Right. So that's kind of what, you know, that this team needs a little bit of, I think, in that sense, where we have a heck of a lineup. Like, there's no reason that we shouldn't be at, you know, on top of the league or damn near if we're willing to push each other and kind of and get past this. Well, we're just okay. We're going to be great. And once the guys buy into that, I think you're going to see them take off.
We're talking to Dan Hynote, newly hired assistant coach for the Nashville Predators. And Dan, you just laid out some great experiences you've had as a former player on some excellent teams. And I'm curious, you know, with your role on this staff, the thing that you've learned the most, because you've been behind an NHL bench in Columbus for a long time, what did you find your greatest asset was as a former player talking to current players? Because they can certainly relate to you having been through all the battles you've been to.
Yeah, I mean, with the grinders, you know, it's easy because that was the role I played, and I can kind of, you know, pull some of my personal adventures into the equation, and you know, here's what I did, here's what Sean Podin did, here's what Dave Reed did, you know, so on and so forth. And then when you're talking to the upper echelon, you know, type player, then I can use the resources of Forsberg, Kariya, Sakic, and what they did, and you know, or Rob Blake and Ray Bourque, and you know, so on, or Patrick Waugh, even, you know, and talking to the goalies. So, you know, those experiences, and especially with names that they recognize, they go a long way, you know. And it's funny because, you know, coming from the program, when you mention these names, basically as soon as you do, anything you say beyond that is gold, because they're just instantly bought in because of who you're referencing. And I think that still holds true in the NHL. You know, and you never want to be that old guy that's like, oh, back when I played, you know, it's not like that.
Right.
You're just trying to get on their level, right? Like I can't dangle. I can't do the things that Joey can do or Dutchie, you know, or Forsberg, but I played with guys that could, and I learned a lot from those guys and their habits and how they got from A to B. And if I can impart some of that into their game, then they'll benefit from it.
You just touched on Ryan Johansson. He's a guy that you go way back with. You saw him as a very young player in the league. He went through a really interesting process this year where he did not have a great season. He knew it. Everybody knew it. He faced it. And during the time where the team was starting to come back, he really was open about it, discussed how he went through the process, and showed a lot of maturity, came out and played really well in the series, as you know. But what is that perspective of knowing a guy when he's just coming in, knowing his roots and everything? How will that help you try to bring out the best in him going forward?
Well, I think there's a good base of trust there because of our past experiences. I love Joey as a kid, and I really love what he can be as a player. I think there's so much left to unearth in his game. He can dominate. Like when he's consistent and when he's working hard and he's, you know, putting his nose in the right type of areas, there's not a whole lot of people that can compete with him at his size. So I've seen it. I know it's been here. I watched it, you know, in the playoffs here. He was awesome when everybody came back. And that was great to see, right? And that's what says a lot about his character after the year he had to come back that strong, and have the performance that he did and that whole line, for instance. But yeah, I think our path together, you know, there's a shared trust there. And to me, that's the most important part of the business now, is these players have to trust that you have their best interest at heart and that you know what you're talking about. And when he came into the league, he was, you know, as raw as you can be, but he had the makings of a number one center, and he obviously has turned himself into that. And now he's ready to, I think he's ready to make that next step, you know, to the elite level. And I'm pumped to be a part of it.
Dan, I don't think you'll be surprised at this. I saw that you were hired. I texted our colleague, Chris Mason, who we've all become very close with over time here, very popular. He came back with this booming endorsement of you and your time with him in St. Louis. And, of course, he went public with it on social media not long after that. Give us your fun memories of playing with him in St. Louis. As we know, we all think the world of Mace.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that if he's saying good things about you, it's kind of embarrassing because he's a crazy person. But no, he's one of my all-time favorites. We had there's millions of stories, but it was funny. Our St. Louis team was a bunch of misfits, and we all became really close and ended up having really good success with an underachieving team, I guess you would say. But he and I and Jay McKee would team up on those PlayStation portable games. And we played these war games, and we had nicknames, and it ended up being the reason that our team came together. But I know he'll dispute this, and as will Jay. But I was clearly the best player in that game series. He was probably third, I'd say, behind Jay McKee. But yeah, we would sit on the bus, and we would just, you know, be talking, you know, smack to the guys in the back. And he was always at the forefront of all the smack talking, as you can imagine. But yeah, we spent lots of time together. One of my favorite teammates of all time, and one of the funniest people that I've played with.
We're talking to Dan Hynote, new assistant coach for the Nashville Predators, and kind of along those lines of like your relationship with Mace or some other players that you played with, Paul Kariya, Peter Forsberg, that all played in Nashville, and you played against Nashville in the early days when it was very different. It was still a new team that was trying to establish and find its place in this league. What was it like from your perspective to whether you'd come play here at Bridgestone Arena when you were with Colorado or with the Blues, and now to be a part of this organization and just see how far it's come?
Well, in the old, obviously what they put together here is special. You know, Mr. Poile and his longevity and everything that he's done here has put this organization basically on top of the league in regards to reputation and organizations you want to play for and work for. So, you know, a great testament, you know, to him and his staff throughout the years. But it was a nightmare to come into Bridgestone and play back in those days. I mean, you had 2-2 running around. You had a bunch of other guys that could fight, and the crowd was crazy. You know, you got Tim McGraw and a couple, you know, Vince Gill and all these guys in the stands mocking you, which, you know, that hurt, you know, because they're your heroes. But there, it was awesome. I loved coming into here. And you know, you knew you were going to be sore after the game, and your ears would be ringing from the crowd, but you were always in one. And now to be on this side of it, I'm so excited because I used to hate coming in there for that reason. And now I'm going to love it.
One thing David Poile said at the end of the season was that, you know, as he tries to construct this roster, that there could be an influx of some younger players that have been developing in Milwaukee, whether it's an Ellie Tolvanen or Rem Pitlick or some of these young guys that we've only gotten a glimpse at. You have experience of working with Team USA, and I know it was under 17, but you have experience developing younger players. So how will that skill set help you as some of these young guys join the Predators roster?
Oh, it'll be very important, and I'm very fortunate to have gone through that process because now I have a much better understanding of the young player and what they need and what they need to hear and how to say it. I mean, they're all individually different, you know, and you got to figure out what buttons to push, but there's a certain language that comes, you know, with these new players under 24. And you got to know how to speak it because they need to trust you in order for them to kind of buy into what you're saying. And you got to build that relationship first before they'll start doing what you ask. So having that knowledge and understanding, you know, kind of even the vernacular is different, you know, their Fortnite and all these other things that we didn't, you know, have at our disposal. You have to understand what they're talking about, you know, and you got to find your common ground, whatever that may be. So coming from the program will help a ton, you know, with guys like Fabro, Tolvanen, Tomasino, you know, guys that are going to be breaking in the league. They, both on the ice and off the ice, I've had, you know, thousands of hours now training kids exactly like them, you know, so I'm really looking forward to making an impact on those guys.
Yeah, it is interesting that you bring that up, Dan, because we've talked to many coaches over the years in various sports that say that their coaching style has had to change because of what you just mentioned, that now you know, there was a time where in a meeting room you'd want cell phones put away, didn't need any of that stuff, but now you have to allow these guys to kind of step away, have a break, get on Twitter, text their friends or what have you. So how have you seen that from going from your playing days of how it was with you guys to adapting into that, like you were just kind of talking about with these younger guys?
Yeah, I think it's a big challenge trying to get guys to be tight, right? Like there's such a big disconnect now, I think, between the veterans and the, you know, the guys with three kids at home and the young player coming up. Not only in an age gap, you know, in the old days, a young player was 22. 23, you know, now you get them at 19, 18, 19, you know, whatever. And you know, they don't have any clue what it's like to be a pro or what it's like to go home to two kids at the end of the day. And, you know, they go home, they jump on their Xbox or PlayStation and then, you know, they have dinner and go to bed. So there's not a lot of team dinners and there's not a lot of team outings like there used to be. But that can be fixed, right? Like that's just bridging the gap and providing them with opportunities to become closer. And that's our job. That's our job to kind of put them in the right position to become close. And, you know, sometimes it's a whisper in the air. Some, you know, the guy like Bonino, he'll have a great idea on how to bring, you know, a group like this together because he's been there and done that. And so, you know, we'll have to lean on him to try and rally this crew, you know, Yossi and Ellis and the other leaders as well. You know, you have to kind of do the extra work that the old guys back in the day didn't have to because it was just built in. There, you know, gaming wasn't as big of a thing. So guys after practice would go have lunch together and then maybe dinner together. And, you know, on the road, it was the same thing. And nowadays, everybody kind of splits off into their own cliques. And it's, like I said, it's up to the leadership group and us to help make sure that this team comes together and becomes close. And that can be, that'll be the challenge. So that's something that, you know, we've talked about and certainly I know the leadership group has talked about as well. So that'll be the key, I think.
Well, Dan, we appreciate the time today. It's good to talk to you and we can't wait to meet you in person whenever that day comes, but welcome to Nashville and we'll talk soon.
Sounds great. And don't believe all the stories that Mason tells you.
Okay, we'll have to cross-check that. We'll cross-check that with you, Dan, when we get to meet face-to-face.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Dan Hynote, new assistant coach for the Nashville Predators. Pick 6 coming up at 1:15, but Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports will get you ready for the gambling weekend at 1 o'clock. We'll do that at 1. More coming on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.